Kyle Draper wanted no part of this today. He and the Kings on their way to Los Angeles. Plane should be leaving about now. So you got Kevin Gleason and you got Jay. And Jay, I know this is your very favorite type of show where we get to spend four, five, six, however many hours we want to go talking about what's wrong with the Kings, man, and hearing everyone's complaints. You love it.
Yeah.
It's what you live for.
I guess I do, man. Thank the Lord I'm here to see another day. I will say that. I'm glad to be living on this side of the soil, the dirt.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm going to kick that right back to you like a table tennis player. Because, I'm very excited, I will say, to see the replies that come in today. The questions, comments, and concerns as well.
Yes. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We try to be like, among other things, a sounding board for you today and understand the frustration. And we hope that you could also be a sounding board for us because we're all in this together to a degree and it's hard to figure out what's going on. I'll share one thing, if I may, that was frustrating to me after the game and then last night. You know, you hear the players and we're going to hear some of the comments from the players last night, and you hear the players, and they're all, after these losses lately, kind of matter of fact. Like, yeah, you know, we just have to do better. And even Mike Brown, yeah, you know, we got to defend better. And there's something about the Kings' apparent lack of frustration after these losses that is very frustrating to me. You know what I mean, Jay?
And yeah, I do.
Yeah, I understand. There's really no reason for them to, you know, rant and rave or anything.
Sure.
But the way they just always seem able to go, you know, yeah, boy, yeah, well, yeah, it has been, we've done this a few games in a row.
Yeah.
And it's easier for players to say that than it is for fans. I'm hoping that behind the scenes, there's a little more emotion.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's something that you've definitely spoken about over the last couple of months, I should say. I was going to say a couple of weeks, but no, this thing has lasted a little longer there, White.
Yes.
Yeah, the last couple of months. And, I can understand your frustration because as soon as the clock strikes zero, the next thing you see, and even let me back that up, even when the Kings are playing and frustration is setting in on the court, you start to see it, you know, via social network and, of course, the reactions. And we're blessed to be at the arena and we get to see those different reactions. And so I know it's something that's really bothered you over the last couple of months, man. And look, I'm just saying, brother, I'm here for you.
I appreciate
you know, I'm
that.
Here for it because nine times out of 10, Jay is pretty straightforward. And I think I've said this a million times and you got, you know, broken record. Let's go back, put the 45 on the and spin it for me. You know, that's for the youngsters. They don't
sure.
know about 45s.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What?
Who, whatever. Yeah.
Huh? By the way, I
basically
thought of you
repeat.
Sunday. I was driving to my daughter's house and they're in Land Park. And I went by this side of a building down near, you know, the tower area. And I forget what building
Riverside
it was.
Riverside Action, baby.
Yes, exactly. Just beautiful mural on the side of this building, City of Trees.
Come on now.
And I was going to take a
you
picture,
took
but
a pic
the light changed.
Baby.
Yeah, I know. By the time I thought of it, and then I had to, you know, keep driving. But it was beautiful.
I know it is because that's the proper slogan we should adhere by here in Sacramento. And City of Trees Parade this weekend.
Nice.
You know, I still got to be a part of it. We're trying to put a few things, you know, put the paint where it ain't right now, Whitey, and trying to be involved because
yeah.
I'm the City of Trees spokesperson.
Right. Well, I didn't realize when you first wanted to ask that question to the dignitary we had on.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh,
Mike
yeah.
Testa.
Yeah. I thought, well, that's kind of silly. I didn't realize you actually were speaking for many people and that this actually is a movement.
It's like thousands right now.
At
I mean,
least.
Not yes, not
At
not
least.
Hundreds. Thousands of replies. I've been a couple of places. It was funny. I went out to check the CIF section finals from Sacramento,
uh-huh.
you know, here, support one of my guys over at Christian Brothers, one of my friends, Jermaine Brown, head coach over there. And as I was walking through the G1C, person stopped me. It was like, hey, Jay, City of Trees. And just kept walking. And I was like, what? And I had to think about it. Like, oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. You damn right it's City of Trees.
Yeah.
And it's become something, man. And I'm not going to stop. I'm all gas, no brakes, brother.
Well, last season we were, basketball-wise, the City of Threes. This year we're more like the City of Threes for the other team. You know, they've been giving up. It's been rough. And we're the City of No D. That's also
yeah.
what we've been this year. On the other hand, you know what? Like we keep saying, these games still matter. You know, there have been so many seasons in the past where by this time of year, We're looking, as you always say, you're looking at the lottery. Mm. So the games matter, but it's frustrating. And last night's was especially frustrating, the loss, that is, because of the way the Kings just kind of, they lost their poise down the stretch. You can't inbound the ball and all the turnovers. That was what was alarming. Again, they lose to a lesser team that's shorthanded. But the way they lost, Jay, where, you know, you're down two with 36 seconds to go. Timeout! This is a crucial possession, and you can't get the ball in. That's like, ugh, that's like Harry High School stuff.
Yeah, and it was.
And I understand it's not easy, but still, it looks bad.
Yeah, it does, to the naked eye, and to, I should say, to the Sacramento Kings fan eye, absolutely. I can't agree with you more. It is it's almost to the point where it's unacceptable. And listen, as someone who has played sports all my life, competed at a high level, physical things, you know, physical mistakes happen, Whitey, and you can attest to this. Same thing for yourself.
That's all I ever did was make physical mistakes.
That's okay. It happens. You know, even the best of the best do. Sure. You know, the fastest of the fastest, the strongest of the strongest. You know, all those different things. The quickest of the quickest. We all make physical mistakes. I think as you start to get higher, and this is something I've always said, you know, people always ask me questions like, when you get higher in the sport that you play, what are the differences? And most of the time, as much as I can possibly say, like, hey, listen, you know, game of inches, or as we've always heard, all the people that's playing on these teams have been their high school and college stars for the most part, right? And so to separate yourself, it takes a mentality. It really does. Like, it takes certain things where we continue to keep on hearing about the Mamba, God rest in soul. You know, Michael Jordan, who we just talked about on this show yesterday, and what separates LeBron and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and strong-minded athletes to become the greatest in the, you know, in the professional ranks. And when you see things like that, man, that's not a physical error. That's a mental error. And when you start to have mental errors at the highest level and at times and peaks, you know, where things matter, you know, where it can make or break a game, I think that's where frustration begins to sit for the Sacramento Kings fans. And I think going back to your main point of it is they're not showing that all the time, but folks like yourself, other fans of the Sacramento Kings, I think, you know, it behooves the Sacramento Kings to, you know, the, mm-hmm. the team, the players, the, you know, people part of this organization to be real with this situation.
It's almost as if the players know that, look, we didn't get anybody. We didn't add anybody to our roster. We didn't add anybody in the offseason other than, you know, some minor pieces around the periphery. We didn't do anything at the deadline. So we kind of are just kind of, we're kind of the same team we've been, whereas other teams have improved. Well, you don't want to say that, right?
Sure.
You can't say that. And you know that, well, since we didn't add guys, our defense is still, you know, it's not very good. You don't want to say that. Sometimes I get the feeling that some of the talk that, yeah, we have to get better. It's like there's a subtext of, I can't tell you what's really wrong here.
Of course not.
It's frustrating us too. But here's where we are, and this is who we got. So we got to just do the best we can with it.
Well, I think that's part of whole sports. How many times do we continue to talk about, well, that's coach speak, or that's, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things you
or
talked
player
about,
speak.
Player
yeah.
speak, exactly. You know, coming to the podium or being, you know, having mics shoved and iPhone shoved in your face 20 minutes right after, you know, the clock strikes zero. A lot of times you want the downtime, but you don't have it. So you kind of got to go out there and, you know, say certain things that you might not want to,
yeah.
say things that you might not believe. And that's something that we've seen, you know, since the dawn of time with sports. But I think there is a certain situation in a certain time where you have to come out and just say, like, look, this is unacceptable. You know, and you can say it without having to kicking and screaming and, you know, going off on your team and or the coaching staff or whatever's going on. Like, listen, this is unacceptable. And I think that's part of, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's what you're getting to.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
that's part of your issue.
Yeah. Jerry Reynolds is going to join us today at 4:30. Brendan Nunes at 3:30. If you want, here's a fun game I used to play when I was on with the two Chris's, Christopher Laud and Christopher Watkins. We would communicate with Jerry Reynolds, and when he had a message, the game was, can you guess what emoji Jerry sent with the message? So Jerry texted me today about how upset he was with that loss. Let me just read you the message.
Oh, wow.
Give you a fighting chance here. So it was, yes. That was something. No, pardon me. How about those Kings? Snatched a defeat from victory, and then what emoji did Jerry send with that? You have any idea? You want to guess?
Snatched defeat.
You don't need the answer now. You got all day to think about it.
Let me, on the chat.
Let me dive a little deeper into this.
You
take a guess. I'll reward anybody who comes up with the right answer. Nobody guesses it. Jerry can reveal that. Coming right back with one of the real mysteries of that loss last night. That fourth quarter was baffling. It's next year with Jay and Whitey. Drive guys on Sacktown.
We always talk about being consistent. And I think, first quarter, I think we were excellent. Second quarter, I just think we didn't score the ball well, but I mean, we're still in command of this game. And then we come out, we have a great third quarter, and then we don't play well in the fourth at all. So we have to be consistent throughout a game and just throughout the entire season.
De'Aaron Fox, obviously he speaks the truth, but you get the sense that there is, he's as tired of saying that as we are of hearing it. And I just get the sense there's more to it that they just, they know and they don't really want to say. You don't want to call out your coach or your teammate or the front office. But here they are, still in position to have a great season, which is great. But how many times has this happened? Happened far too often. Jay, I mentioned this earlier in the crossover. I got to hand it to my wife, Sheena, because last night.
Shots out.
Yes. I left the game at halftime. Had some things to do at home. I didn't think the Kings had it won. I just had some things I had to address at home. And so third quarter, the Kings have a 20-point lead, and I'm watching with her. And then the Bulls start chipping away, and my wife says, oh, I know where this is going. I'm not even going to watch this. And she was...
Very intelligent woman.
She was right.
I see why you married her.
And I think she probably spoke for a lot of fans, right? A lot of people fell. But didn't you want to feel like, or say to yourself, okay, yeah, it's starting to go that way, but this is different. This is a team that just beat Minnesota. They've learned their lessons. They know they have to be consistent. All those lessons that are there to be learned, they've learned them by now. It's not going to happen tonight.
No. Maybe you did. Not me.
Huh.
No, absolutely not. I will say this, though. Going into third quarter yesterday, I felt like, okay, the Kings have this pretty much taken care of. I didn't see the fight from the Bulls. And to be completely honest, as much as I love DeMar DeRozan, like I'm a huge DeMar DeRozan fan, I didn't think he was going to turn it on. Now, listen, he proved me completely wrong, but I don't think, and let me make sure I separate the two here, Whitey. I don't think the Kings have learned their lesson by all means, but I do think, I did think they had that game in hand, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you'd think so. Fourth quarter, which Magic used to call winning time. By the way, Kyle Draper, a big Magic Johnson fan, but Kyle's not with us today because he's flying with the team. I know some people wondering,
where's Kyle? Show.
Yeah, so he's on his way to L.A. Not a Laker fan tomorrow. That's going to be a huge game now.
Woo.
That game's shaping up as a monstrous
contest.
It was
monstrous last week. It was monstrous 2 weeks
ago.
I know.
But now you got the Lakers of all teams, and they're right there behind you, poking and jabbing.
Absolutely.
Here come the footsteps. Anyway, fourth quarter, winning time. DeMar DeRozan, he was 7-for-7, Jay.
Yep.
Kobe White, he was 3-for-4.
Ugh.
Yeah. Julian Phillips.
Who?
He was 2-for-3.
Balling.
Meanwhile, for the Kings, you know, Malik Monk, I thought he had a pretty good finish to the game Friday, didn't you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He single-handedly won the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many shots he took in the fourth quarter last night? One! What? I don't get it.
Why not? Why don't you get it?
Well, I mean, doesn't somebody have to realize, and some of it's on Malik, I guess, but doesn't someone have to realize, wow, we're not scoring much. They made 6 passes. They were 6-for-20 in the fourth quarter. Huh. Malik was just he was a sensational offensive player in our last game. Maybe we give him a chance to score some baskets. I know it's not that simple, and the defense has a lot to do with it, but one shot for Malik in the fourth quarter?
So if I'm hearing this clearly, and please correct me again, are you saying this loss is on the coaching staff?
No, it's on everybody.
Saying okay.
It's on
everybody. I just want to know where you're going before I kick in the tune with you.
I understand. And I would say that. I'm not going to imply, I'm not going to say, it's the coach, but I'm not saying. No, it was on everybody.
There was a mixture of everything.
Yes,
jumbo pot.
They did look, let's face it, you watch that game, and whether that was an NBA game, college game, high school, or, a junior high game, a team that played that way down the stretch where they're committing so many turnovers, can't inbound the ball, they don't foul too late. That's like Harry High School stuff. That your coach looks bad when your team plays that way.
Yeah, I thought there were a few not only a few, but definitely some damning things that happened to the Kings when it came to the coaching staff and the onlookers, the people who don't control anything on the court, but the ones who were trying to draw the X's and O's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if we begin the third quarter where you said Domas and De'Aaron at the same time, and I understand foul trouble, I get it, totally understand. That's something that you don't see from the Sacramento Kings at all. You never see both of their star players on the bench at the same time, right? It just never happens. I thought that was the beginning of the end when it came to, you know, the downfall and the comeback for the Chicago Bulls. The other thing for me, and this is something I've been saying, you know, in and out of the Drive guys for the last couple of months. I don't want to say I understand, I watch it, I see it. We can all see that plays are being called. We can all understand that sets are being called by the Sacramento Kings. This isn't just roll the ball out and go play basketball. I get that part of it. But, and this is the thing, to win by the same sword, you're going to have to die by the same sword. I didn't really jump in yesterday because it was a good deal and I don't want to be there. Come on, Jay. Don't be that type of guy. We don't want – it was a great day. Like, even Drape said it a couple times yesterday. He even jumped on somebody, and I can't remember, you know, Fosa it Mike. Escapes me. Well, Fosa Mike.
Yeah.
Or Rob or somebody like that. Fosa Mike talked about, look, you can't sustain winning basketball the way the Kings did against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. A win's a win. I got it. Mm-hmm. But I'm with them. Like, there is no way – the Kings are going to win multiple games by the way they beat Minnesota, albeit without Anthony Edwards, someone who could match Malik Monk shot for shot. Now, you could tell me De'Aaron Fox didn't play. I get it, but De'Aaron Fox had a pretty good game yesterday, but he hasn't been playing top flight De'Aaron Fox lately, as of late, and we understand there may be an injury or two there. But I'm just saying, you saw what happened Friday in a positive tone, and then yesterday – it absolutely reversed back to the same situation. And my thing is, listen, if we're going to celebrate the wins when Malik Monk goes crazy and goes bananas and scores almost 40 points and takes the last 20 shots of the game, and De'Aaron has done this multiple times as well, then guess what? When we play that type of basketball where we just roll it out to the middle of the floor and call no sets, it's going to bite you on the you know, bite you back, Whitey.
Let's be fair. If you're going to criticize anybody, like I just said, I realize what I said. I said, well, I don't blame the coach, but I said the coach looks bad. Yeah, the coach, I think both things can be true. Mike Brown is the best coach for this team.
Yes.
There's no, you
right
know,
now,
oh, get rid
absolutely.
Of him. It's like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
That said, you know, he's not perfect, especially as he's struggling to find answers. He's going to make mistakes like anybody makes mistakes. But last night, if you are looking for someone to blame, and you mentioned De'Aaron Fox, you know that fourth quarter we're just talking about? What's his nickname?
Fourth quarter Fox.
Gotcha. Last night in that fourth quarter, I mentioned that DeRozan was 7-for-7 and Kobe White's 3-for-4 and Julian Phillips 2-for-3. Monk got one shot. De'Aaron Fox was 0-for-4, 0-for-3 on threes, and he turned the ball over three times.
A couple times, yeah. And the crucial one outside of, yeah.
That's your, all right. Here you go.
Which is, you know what's crazy? Because going into it, this is one of the things, and I want to make sure, you know, this isn't all negative. This is definitely some positive we have to kick around because they did have a fantastic first half. Like, the defense they played first half was some of the best defense I've seen this team play in a long time. That comes to memory. Like, they were suppressing what the Bulls were doing. Active hands, quick feet. Harrison Barnes, you know, had a few steals. De'Aaron was everywhere. And then to springboard that, the other thing I thought De'Aaron did fantastically yesterday, and this is something I've been clamoring for the last 2 or 3 years from De'Aaron, is make other people better.
Mm-hmm.
His passes, you know, in that first half, and even
assists.
A few times, oh, man, I mean, he was diamond cats open. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. When you see Malik Monk, he passes guys open. De'Aaron, not so much. I thought yesterday, though, he did a fantastic job in passing guys open. I mean, there were 2 or 3 passes. I was like, is that De'Aaron or is that Malik? Is that Jamal Crawford? Is that De'Aaron?
No, yeah.
Like, I was trying to figure out who was out there. You know, it wasn't the De'Aaron Fox I knew.
Yeah, it seems like since he's been dealing with whatever injury, and I know he's got the bruised knee now, but before the shoulder, whatever it was, it seemed like he started shooting fewer threes, started taking fewer shots overall and also looking to distribute a little more. And I'm with you on that. It's like that can be really an efficient road forward for him. But last night in the fourth quarter, he didn't have it. And that's a guy that the Kings don't have the deepest roster. And when it comes to winning time, Sabonis and Fox.
Yeah.
It's like Mike Brown says, it's not fair, but that's what they have to do. That's why they're here. Sabonis fouled out and Fox had a bad fourth quarter.
Yeah. But again, and let me throw in DeMar DeRozan, just another example of what this team lacks in some time. A shot creator, a shot maker, and someone who can go get a bucket on their own when need be. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Malik Monk. And this is the thing. Malik Monk is a perfect, you know, addition to what the Sacramento Kings over the last couple of years have been because he's all of that. But he's still the guy that comes off the bench. He's still not the guy, the highest paid guy. He's still not the guy that we're all, you know, we all need to just rely on at all points and times. And he has actually assisted the Kings in taking a lot of weight off of De'Aaron and Domas and being that guy. And don't get me wrong. Listen, if he can be that player and be that star and be that closer, then go get it, Malik. And I think he's done that quite a bit enough. But we've seen that in the playoffs against the Warriors the first couple of games. He was the closer. We've seen that against the OT game against the Clippers. We just saw that on Friday. But DeMar DeRozan doing what he did just shows what the Kings continue to lack in, which is sometimes to be the best – to get wins, sometimes you just got to go get it. And I think the Kings have a flaw in that. And I think, you know, the game yesterday just added to that the fuel to the fire, Whitey, where it's like this team just needed another spark. Again, they needed something different.
Yeah, that's a real interesting point. DeRozan had 33 points on 12 shots. He was 10 for 12, and he got to the line at will, which is what he does.
Yes.
12 free throws, made 11 of them. And he's not a good three-point shooter, but he took three and made two. So, yeah.
Because when it going gets tough, you got to go get it, Whitey.
You know, like a predator waiting, and then fourth quarter, all right, swallowed up the Kings.
The turnaround on the opposite side of the Bulls bench, with I think it was like 3.5, 3.29,
degree
something
of difficulty
like
that. High
oh,
on that
man,
one.
That turnaround was something sweet, especially to beat the shot clock. I mean, you could tell. When he hit that, it was like, okay, he's cooking.
Yep.
He's about to go get this game. So now you need someone to match that. You need someone to take the necessary steps and to match the intensity, which is another key word we've been talking about here on the drive, guys, for the last couple of months with the Kings. Intensity. Matching the other team's intensity when needed.
We have this from Fat Cat Bakery. Sup, fellas. Though Mike Brown is definitely a good coach for the Kings, this loss and others was on the coaching. Len not back in. Fox passing the ball in-game adjustments. Lyle at 5, question mark.
Yeah.
I'm not with you, Fat Cat, FCB. I can't say that was on the coach. Clearly, there were some things that he did that didn't work out. As far as the inbounds play.
That's on the coach, Whitey.
Is
Let's
it?
Be real, though.
We'll see if De'Aaron at some point, we'll see if we can find that. De'Aaron explained what went wrong there. De'Aaron Fox explains one of the Kings' biggest blunders of the night. We'll look at that when we come right back here. So Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Yeah, I should have known last night was going to be an unhappy night. Drive Guys here. It's Jay and Whitey today. We've got Kyle Draper on his way to L.A. With the Kings. That's going to be quite a contest tomorrow. But I mentioned on the chat, we heard from Fat Cat Bakery. Jay, you remember Fat Cat Bakery? They were kind enough to
shout
send
out
us
to them sugar cookies.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes. And they had sent us some cookies in response to the debate Drapes and I had about chocolate chip versus oatmeal raisin cookies. Well, this is where I should have known last night was going to be a forgettable night. Last night after, you know, in the media room and I'm in there, you know, and there's, you know, Chris is in there and Alan and John Dickinson and Jay Ross and all the media people in there. Yeah. And the dinner had chicken enchiladas. And then it's like, all right, time to go get a cookie. And they have great cookies in there.
Yeah.
And I walk over to get a cookie. And I'm ready for a cookie. Pre-game cookie. There's nothing like it. All they had at that time were oatmeal raisin.
Well, that's it.
That's when I should have known. Uh-oh. We got problems here. Because they always have an assortment of cookies. They always have chocolate chip. But that's all they had, Jay. I should have known. I went ahead and ate one, but it was all right.
I think you.
Why you always lying?
Why I think you're lying, to be completely honest. I mean, the way Fat Cat Baker came in here and threw those oatmeal joints at Kyle Draper.
Yeah.
And the way I saw it in his eyes.
I know. Well, I didn't have any of theirs.
I'm just saying, I saw it in Drape's eyes. And yeah. I don't know if you remember, maybe like one segment went by and he, you know, they're looking near, they're sitting there. He's like, okay. I'm like, okay, Drape's not going to eat anything.
Yes.
Soon as break came around, I mean, the bag is cracked open.
Yeah.
Immediately. And the next thing you know, Drape's is talking to you and taking a bite of the cookie.
Yes. Yeah.
You're responding. He's turning off the mic.
Yeah. It's like you see a squirrel at the park. It's like, that's how Drape's was. Well, I'll tell you what, Whitey. Right. I think they should have won. Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I'm a huge oatmeal guy, though. I like oatmeal. Chocolate chip is not for me. So, this is not the conversation you want to have.
Later, they brought out the chocolate chip. They re-upped the supply.
Did you partake?
Of course I did.
You partook?
Of course I did. Yes.
partook
in the situation? But it was too late.
Yeah.
It was too late. Now, a lot of people are talking about that play last night, the inbounds play.
Yeah.
And let's face it, games don't come down to one play, but that was a big one. So the Kings see their lead evaporate, and they're actually down two with 36 seconds to go, and the ball's out of bounds, and the Kings have the ball, and they call timeout to drop an inbounds play. And De'Aaron Fox could not get the ball in, ended up throwing it out of bounds. After the game, give him credit, De'Aaron Fox, stand-up guy, explained, hey, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we run normally. We had HB on, or Vooch on HB to be like that would usually be Domas, but he fouled out at the time. And I kind of didn't want to take that chance. Obviously throwing on someone that's 6'8 over someone that's 7 foot. Me and Malik just had a miscommunication. He was coming back to the corner. I was trying to throw it over the top to him, and we just didn't get the ball in bounds.
All right, so I know, Jay, you didn't think it was a great play. I didn't think so either. But then when I heard him say, that's a play we run, and then he said, yeah, that would have been, Domas would have been kind of the safety valve. And you did have HB, and he was kind of,
top of the key.
Yeah.
Left side of the key.
He had a seal on Vucevic, and he was calling for the ball. But
posting up.
You could kind of see why didn't want to throw him the ball. Huh?
Man, first of all. And I hadn't even heard that. I didn't see that part of the post game yesterday because I just turned it off, to be honest. You know, once the clock hit zero, I was like, I don't really need to hear anything that these guys need
to. I saw it. I know what happened.
You know, absolutely. And, of course, today I got to do my research because this is what we do. We want to make sure we're informed properly here on the drive, guys. But I will say this, Whitey. I thought the spacing on the out-of-bounds play was horrendous. I thought where Malik Monk was stationed was terrible.
He's right there against the sideline.
I mean, he's just pressed.
It looked like you had like a weak side Herder cutting, and the Bulls had that covered, so there's nothing there. And then I think maybe Lyles had some kind of dive cut, and that was covered.
Which started from the right side.
Two guys. I got Malik just kind of on the sideline there. There's not a lot of room. Mm-hmm. And I got HB
posted up at the 3-point line.
With Vucevic on him.
With Vucevic.
But you know what? You had a timeout left.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And so me hearing that for the first time, my mind clicks to this. If that's something you normally run, two things come to mind. That probably means the Bulls have done some scouting.
Maybe.
They know it's coming, right? First part, it's covered. It wasn't there. Second part, if this is something you're comfortable in, and we had a conversation just a quick minute ago in between the breaks, you know, the pressure of a hot potato, the basketball in your hand, when you're standing on the sideline trying to get that ball in with 5 seconds and you see the referee, you know, throwing that hand out and, you know, you got thousands watching. Like, it's not an easy task. It sounds, you know, crazy, but if you haven't done it, you know, you haven't been a part of that situation, you haven't walked in those shoes, then you can't speak on it. But I'll say this, if that's something you normally run, then there's no pressure. There's not as much pressure. Then you know there's a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
One of two things have to happen. You either get that ball in bounds or you call a timeout. The fact that no one, that I didn't see anyone, call a timeout is a problem, man.
And I would add
it's
one thing to that, if I may, and that is it's hard to say for sure definitively because we don't know all their inbounds plays. But if you normally run that with Domas and Domas isn't there, maybe you don't run
the personnel
that.
Is not there.
Yeah. I don't know. On the chat here, we have from Manny. Yeah, De'Aaron should have thrown it to HB. That probably was the best option. But, you know, he thought he knew where Monk was going. But that's when you can't get the ball in, you know, when you've seen this lead evaporate, timeout, that's one of the things that really reflects how good a team is. how good the coaching is, how connected a team is what you do coming out of a timeout, especially a critical one, and you throw the ball out of bounds. That looks awful for everybody. I'm sorry, it just does.
It does, and it starts to make you question different things that, you know, we've been defending on this show, and I think that's part of the problem. And that's why, you know, for me today, it's the coming of the moment of, you know, I've been saying this for a while. Some people have kind of been on this bandwagon. But we just really have to look the reality in the eye, man. Like, this isn't a top-tier fight for a championship, make it to a Western Conference Finals team right now. It's not. And it hasn't been that for the last two or three, 4 months, whatever. You know, and I know we're getting that takes almost to the beginning of the season. But I think that just continues to show some of the things that fans have been clamoring for. Beginning of the season, before the season, I mean, we were clamoring for a little more assistance and help. It didn't happen. Trade deadline come and go. I'm sitting in Las Vegas at the Super Bowl, and we're waiting.
Yeah, I remember.
Twiddling
yeah.
our thumbs. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. Quiet. Mute. Whatever you want to say. It was mime type situation. That's a problem. Right, exactly. That's a problem, Whitey.
I know.
And the fact of the matter is 2-3 weeks post that, we're still talking about the same situations, and we're calling all these different avenues and aspects of what happens with the Kings when they take a loss and when they win, you know, into question. And I go back to it, and I continue to say, if we thought this team, flawed and all, weren't going to have losses like this along the way after it's already been shown. They've shown their true identity.
Well, the other side of that is, of course, that, well, we thought, we hoped that Friday they turned a corner. They had a team meeting.
No.
And then they're back home again. And last night was the chance.
Hold on. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, all good.
Why, though?
Because
they had a team meeting?
Because we hoped. You know, that's what it is.
Man, we hoped in September.
Yeah, I know.
We hoped in October.
But there were signs that, all right, maybe they did do something.
When?
Friday night. They had no business winning that game.
No, because Malik Monk rescued them.
Yes.
Which is what Folsom Rob or Folsom Mike called out yesterday. And that's what I said. I was mime about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Malik Monk delivered that win. Don't get me wrong. Look, the rest of the team played decent. They played well to still be there. But Malik Monk put that win on the back of his spinal cord
and took that
home.
Yes, he did.
Okay, you can't win games like that all the time.
Okay,
though.
But it did happen. You won one. You got one back. You'd kick so many. Now you get one back. And then there's reasons to think you got all these home games coming up. Back home against a team that's shorthanded. The game that they've been losing. This is a great chance to show that that's in your rearview mirror. And they were ahead by 20. And those are the worst losses in any sport. For any fan,
Second time it's happened this season.
It's when you have in your mind, it's like, well, we won this game, you know?
I agree.
Especially if you're betting on it. You know, if you think, oh, I got this one, and then you lose. So why do they come so close then? You know, they came so close. That's the aggravating part. It's like, oh, they're not good enough. But they're close to being good enough. They should have won that game.
I agree. Like I said, I think going into – you know, the third quarter game is like, oh, yeah, we try to, and I heard Carmichael Dave say this, and I've seen him tweet this the last few, you know, days or weeks or whatever we want to call it. It's like, look, there are trap games for this Sacramento Kings team, and you can almost see them coming. You know what I almost see coming is maybe a great game against the Lakers and maybe a trap game against the Spurs again Thursday, right? Like, we can almost see it. So let's just go ahead and get ourselves prepared and ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been so many times Pistons, the Rockets double losses.
The Hornets.
Like, there's been so many times. The Pacers without Tyrese Halliburton. The 76ers without Joel Embiid. There's been so many times that this team has been told, like, look, fire is hot. Don't touch it. Don't do it. And then you put your hand out, and guess what? It burns you. Like, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing different that happened yesterday that hasn't happened multiple times this season.
You're right. But fans being fans, and I'm speaking as a fan, you hope that things will change. Maybe it's an irrational hope, but that's a big part of being a fan is being irrational. You know, it's like, well, all right, yeah, that happened. But no, now they're over the hump. And then that's why it's so discouraging. You're smarter. You're like, well, we knew this is what they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we all do, though. Do you not know that? You do. That's why the hesitation in your voice.
Yes.
Of course.
But you don't want to admit that. You don't want to admit that defeat. And you're hoping that, yes, that was before, but hey, there's still something there. There's something extra there that they're going to find.
Yep.
They found it Friday, and then, oh, you got to be kidding me. Do you remember you and I think it was the last time you and I did a show together?
Right.
We were looking at the schedule. Yeah. Okay. Right. I think it was last week. We were going to do, we said, look at the schedule. Every game you think they should lose are going to win and vice versa.
Yes.
And we went like five games in and we realized this is too depressing. We can't keep going.
Which is the reason I think we continue to turn a blind eye to the situation. But I think this kicks all the way back to the original question you had in the beginning of the show is, at some point in time, as fans, we kind of want to see the team and or, you know, the coaching staff. And I'm not saying it's not happened, as you've alluded to, it probably happening, you know, behind closed doors. I get it. But I think for just our sanity, our peer sanity, Whitey, we want someone from the team to come out and say, you know what, man, I know this is tough. This is difficult because we're going through the roller coaster with you. You know, we're on the same Space Mountain ride that you guys are on. And I think that's where some fans voice their frustration to the ultimate is, you know, like I get, we all do. We get tweets and, you know, we so happen to know a lot of people who are Kings fans. And when things like this happen, like the phone is just going off immediately. Bing, 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 bing. And you're like, I already know what it is. It's the frustration from the fans. It's the frustration from the fans. And I think to answer your question, we're looking for someone down there to say, we're part of this. We're part of the roller coaster ride. And not behind closed doors. Yeah. But I think they did it for us. Why?
Here's the problem, and here's what we're going to do about it. Yeah, instead of we just got to be better. By the way, I think when we did that exercise,
play harder.
When we went down the, I think we said, oh, they'll beat Minnesota, and then they will lose at home to the Bulls.
Yes.
I think we said
We did say that. And guess what? The plea to all of that is just what we talked about yesterday and made such a dynamic, you know, we made a big deal out of it. They had a players' meeting.
Yeah.
I think that was their truth telling us, well, we got to get it together.
Yeah.
I think it really was.
When we come back, we'll get to the phones 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Also, we got to look at the brand new A's ballpark renderings, which apparently were not supposed to come out
yet.
Are
those real?
There's an interesting story behind it all.
Exactly.
We'll get to that here. Drive Guys, coming right back on Sacktown Sports. You see what I mean? I understand that. And I maybe it's not reasonable, but I'm just growing weary of, yes, we lost. I know. It's hard. We need to do better. You know what I mean?
With the urgency. I get it.
There's nothing they can do. They're more frustrated than we are. I get that. But it's just like, yes, I know. Sometimes you want to play better, but that's the NBA. It's just hard to hear. It's hard sometimes to sleep after a game like that for a fan. By the way, Jay, big night for me tonight.
Were you able to sleep?
Well, I...
Because I know you had the wires and everything connected, right?
Thank you. Tonight's my last night hooked up to all the everything. There's a thing there where when I'm done with my third night, which is tonight, I'm telling you, you know, what do I know? I'm sleeping through it, but I'm crushing this test.
Got a boy.
Crushing it.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So GPA on a high.
Yeah. It's like, you're getting too much oxygen, I'm sure. That's what they're going to say.
You need to breathe less. You know why? Because you live in the city of trees, baby. That's all that is.
That's what that is. There's a form where you're supposed to fill out. Was there anything unusual that may have affected your sleep on any of these nights? And I think last night, I got to say, yes, see King's box score.
Right? Ooh.
Don't you think?
Blood pressure was up.
For the researchers, I got to let them know.
Yeah. Did you put that in there?
Well, I think I'm going to have
to. Yeah, you have to. Because, you don't want to degrade your grade, you know, downplay your grade.
Right.
Especially if you're already on an A-plus situation.
Yeah.
You're on the dean's list.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you don't want the Kings to put a deficit in your grade. So you got to put that in there. That's part of the news and, I mean, it's part of the notes.
Now, another thing, and I know you're not a sleep researcher, but at one point I woke up
and close.
The thing that's supposed to be in my nose was like over by my ear. And I don't know how long it had been like that. That's probably not good, is it?
No, absolutely. But you know what? I told you, I went through this situation. And I will say this. It is damn sure hard to sleep when you got like 42 wires.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like RoboCop. Yeah. And you're like,
Just don't move. Yeah, yeah, you'll be fine. Good night. Sleep well.
You're tied up in your own wires, man. It's tough. Yeah. It is tough.
Yeah.
At least you got to do it at home. I didn't say this yesterday. I had to go in.
Ooh.
Like, I had to go into like the sleep center for Sutter or whatever at the time to go do it.
But
and it was
night.
Only one night.
Yes, one night in a place or three at home. Yeah, I guess I'd take the three at home, but
that
one
boy.
Night sounds nice. That anyway, yeah. Almost done. 339-1140.
We're rooting for you. Just like we're rooting for the Kings, baby.
Yes. Brian on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Brian, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen, I'm enjoying your show, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, I just wanted to touch on what's going on with this team. And I'm so glad, first of all, let me just say this. After waiting as long as we have to get a competitive team, the last 2 years have been it's been good, man.
Yes.
To be able to know you could turn on the game and know these guys can compete and win any game they play. Now, with that being said, this is getting a little old, man, from the standpoint of two things for me. One, obviously, this free throw situation is ridiculous. That has, in my opinion, cost us several games throughout the season, and it just keeps getting worse. And I understand the mental aspect of going to the line and shooting free throws. Here's my biggest pet peeve of what's been going on with them, and I'm driving my wife nuts because she won't even watch the game with me anymore. The fact that these guys do not value the basketball. They don't value possession, and they don't value the ball. It's driving me nuts, man. It's like watching an AAU team at times. And the saddest part about it to me is, when they move the basketball, good things happen for them. But they get in these situations in the fourth quarter, and they're treating possessions like it's 5 minutes into the first quarter.
Hmm.
And you saw it last night. If you watch every game where they lose leads, it's because they don't value the ball and they don't value the possessions. They start with these cross-court passes, dribbling through traffic, losing balls when it's just kind of this pullback, hold up. I understand the style of basketball that they play. I understand where this comes from in terms of the background in Houston and bringing all that. Like, every shot don't have to be a three-point shot. Sometimes you just need to go ahead and get high-quality shots. So as quickly as they shoot themselves into games, they shoot themselves out of games with poor shot selection.
Gotcha, Brian.
And then just turning the ball over.
Yes.
Like, it's absolutely frustrating. So my question to you guys is that a coaching thing or is that a player thing? I have my own opinion, but I want to hear what you guys think.
Thank you, Brian. First of all, the free
throw
shooting. Yeah, yeah. Free throw shooting, as you know. Last night it was actually okay. I think HB had a timely miss late, but overall they only missed two. You're right. That's been dreadful. Yeah, Jerry Reynolds is going to be with us at 4:30. Jerry used to say on TV, he said, you got to protect the pumpkin, which is, you know, you got to value the basketball.
Absolutely.
It's very important. And then last night they had 18 total turnovers. And Mike Brown said, I think that's why we lost the game. So I think mostly it's on the players, but there are times when the offense is bogged down this year, Jay, where it looks like the offense isn't functioning the way it should. Some of that's on the coaches, but to me, bottom line is, the players got to take better care of the ball.
Yeah, I'm always put it on the players first. I'm a players guy. You know, I root for the players.
Both ways, right?
Yeah,
they deserve the credit, too.
Absolutely. You know, and but I do think this, and, you know, I grew up hearing, and Brian kind of points, you know, I think Brian was kind of leaning toward the coach, and I might be wrong, but I think part of that is this. Shaq and Kobe didn't win without Phil. Jordan didn't win without Phil. Albeit, he had Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant come a little later, Dennis Rodman, those type of things. Coaching matters. I do think coaching wins you a handful of games throughout the season. And you've heard this numerous times in all different kinds of sports. You know, a coach isn't going to go out there and win every game for you, but there's, you know, five, six, seven throughout the season where he'll coach you, you know, coach your way to a win. And so I want to say this, and I'm not calling the coaches out, but I am saying this, though, Whitey. And it comes to my mind. We talked about, and we heard Chuck Swirsky yesterday. We heard Bill Winnington We heard guys like that talk about how great Jordy Fernandez is. We've heard that for since he's been here, right? We've given the praises to Mike Brown a million different times. From where the Kings were prior to Mike Brown to where they are now, leaps and bounds different.
No question.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Get it. Credit.
They're legit.
Their
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're legit. At the same fold, there's a couple times we can call into what happened. Like, I'm hunching my shoulders. For everything that Jordy is getting on the positive side, he comes on this show every 3 weeks, and we get to hear, you know, what he sees, what he feels, all those things. And we're mighty, you know, we're grateful of those things. But there's got to be some time where it's like, what's going on? And if no one else is going to say it, I'll say it. No problem. I'll take the heat. For everything these guys are getting, there are some things that fans want to hear. They mm-hmm. want to know. It's time to get that. Like, we have to come to, like, this is unacceptable sometime. Kyle Draper said it yesterday postgame. Like, for the fans,
yeah.
this is unacceptable. And I think that's what you're saying, too, is urgency, intensity, whatever we want to call it. You know, we hear, we got to play with more effort. We know these guys aren't perfect. No one's saying Mike Brown's perfect. No one's saying Jordy Fernandez is perfect. No, we got it. These guys are great coaches. I've said that numerous times. You've said that numerous times. We're grateful that these guys are here in Sacramento. We could have someone else. We could not be making the playoffs. We could be looking forward to draft picks. Well, guess what? Because you guys have been so great, the Kings fans are now expectations, as we continue to say on this show, they're expecting more. They want to see greatness now. They want to see the next step. And that's where the frustration is coming. That's where fans are clamoring for.
Yep. And a loss like last night, there's plenty of blame to share.
Of course.
All across the
of course.
Board. We don't have time for TC's Check It right now, do we?
No, let's get TC
right,
Check
we'll come
It
back.
This time.
TC, if you can
Love
hang on. It. We got TC's Check It coming up. Also, is this why the Kings keep losing home games we think they should win? What our research reveals when we come right back. Drive Guys, Hacktown Sports.